I want to read a passage, and you should see this behind me, from Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. It's going to start us off. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters at Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which I think most of you, if you have a study Bible, will show that that name means bitter. And the people complained against Moses and saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. So this morning we're going to be talking about sweet and bitter, and as I had on the title slide up here, that branch on there is going to come into play in just a little bit. If you follow us on Facebook, I posted that last night just to kind of be a teaser there. So I figured this image would be good for the kids to start off right away, because sometimes we all feel like that, especially some of you that had to get up extra early to make the trip to camp today. You might have kind of felt like that too. So we all do. So bitterness is one of the things that we look at a lot of times in a couple different ways. We're going to be looking at it as an emotion, and we're going to not talk about it the way that most of the time you hear it in church. First of all, bitterness is an emotion that is very devastating if we let it get out of control. Now, if you taste, this guy here was tasting some tea. He probably was doing a pose shot, of course, because it seems like that's how it does. But have you ever picked up something you thought was going to be good? Or maybe you picked up a drink that you thought was something entirely different, and you're like, and then you're like, oh, it just kind of knocks you back. Like, that was horrible. I've done that before. So what do we typically do? If it's something bitter, don't we just kind of make something to sweeten it up a little bit? And that's what we're going to get to in the second lesson. So I have to email that to all of you guys at camp if you want to hear the second lesson, all right? So first of all, bitterness is definitely an emotion that is very devastating if we let it get out of control. It does creep into our lives. And I've got a few things here I want to point out, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit. It consumes our thoughts. It consumes our life, and it can consume our feelings too. And this one is going to be a personal account. Bitterness can be like, it can capture us in the claws, as it were, of unforgiveness. I don't know about the rest of you, but if any of you have a cat, you know sometimes cats can be really friendly, and they just think that it is so enjoyable to take their claws and just spread them into your body, don't they? That makes them happy. How many? If you're petting a cat, they typically sit there and do this. What they're doing is actually causing you pain by saying, "Thank you for being here for me." Our cat has had a stroke, and so it's a little bit wonky, as I like to say. But sometimes what she'll do is she'll grab a hold of something and she can't let go of it. I have to pull her claw back out because the one left side of her body is kind of failed. But that's really how bitterness is in our lives. It kind of clings and it won't let us go. And what you often hear in a church or in a Bible study or something like that about bitterness is this frustration that you might have with somebody at church or somebody in your family. But bitterness, I think, is a lot more than that. It can be bitterness with an employer. It can be bitterness with a friend. Social media is something that we all are very exposed to. People can just have a bad day and say something to you, texting to you, and you're like, seriously? And you don't even want to talk to them again. Or they may have the same response for something that you say. Just because of an emotion, a feeling, maybe somebody's going through a really bad day. Maybe they've just had a car accident. Maybe they've just gotten some extremely bad news in their family. And their normal way of behaving is suddenly different. And how they relate to you sometimes puts you at a distance from them. And that's kind of how bitterness sometimes develops. It's not just saying, "Hey, how you doing, buddy?" And like, shut up. It's like, whoa, that would cause bitterness for me. It's like, seriously? Why would you do that to me? But sometimes it's less than that. How many times have you had a good friend, maybe a favorite friend or a good family member? Again, going back to social media, you're texting them. It's like, "Hey, how you doing?" No response. 4 or 5 hours later, "Hey, what's going on?" No response. By the end of the day, maybe they just haven't seen your message, but by the end of the day, you're like, "I don't even want to talk to them anymore. They never answer me. They don't care." But you just don't know what's on the other side of the door. You just don't know where they're at. So we have to be sensitive to those things. How does bitterness start? Again, as we just pointed out, someone says something, someone does something, and I think most importantly, sometimes people don't do something. "Hey, I thought we were going to meet at such and such a place. Hey, you were going to do this for me. I was waiting for you to pick me up, and you never showed up. Hey, I thought you were going to let me have that thing." I mean, we just get disappointed by the simplest things, but we always have to be very conscientious that we don't know exactly what's going through someone's mind. as the person that may cause bitterness for others, we need to try to do our best to make sure that when we say something, we do it. The Bible teaches us. It says, let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes. Or if we're going to do something, we should always fulfill those things. But as a human being, it's not so easy. What happens a lot of times is we maul, fester, and our spirits get crushed. It starts off like, I wish they would get back to me. And then it just keeps eating at you. Maybe it's been a couple days. You haven't heard back from something. I've got a job that I've applied for recently. They said that they'd offered me a job opportunity with them. And I said, well, how about this, this, and this? And it's been 2 weeks, and I haven't heard anything back. And so sometimes I feel like that. I'm not getting bitter, but I am a little frustrated that I'm like, okay, don't they like me? What's going on? I mean, my mind's spinning like that. And don't we do that a lot of times with things we don't know about? When our spirits get crushed is when we've had this bitterness, we've had this frustration, we've had this uncertainty about what's going on with somebody else or an event that we can't control, and it just keeps weighing and weighing and weighing on us. It causes hard feelings. And this is one of the things where we start getting in trouble, as Christians especially. We start wanting to get even. We don't know what's happening. We get this bitterness in us, but then we're like, I'm going to show them. They finally, maybe it's that texting thing again. They finally get back to us a day later. It's like, sorry, I didn't get back to you. And you're like, I'm not answering them. You feel like that, don't you? Sometimes, I waited on them, and they didn't get back to me, so I'm going to make them wait. And that's just sometimes how we process things. I've got on there that can lead to slander or an avoidance. Sometimes you want to make somebody's name, kind of work on their name, make them not feel as good as they should be or as they have been to you up to that point. And this point here, does the offender even know what they've done? I mean, sometimes we have to tell them. What's the Bible principle? If somebody's done something to you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go there and tell them what they've done, right? They can't know about it otherwise. Think about relationships. A lot of you young people are dating. Maybe there's people at camp that you like. Maybe there's people at your home congregations or where you go to school, wherever. If they do something and you're like, I can't believe they just did that to me, and you just keep treating them mean because they did this to you, and maybe it was a total accident, how are they going to know about it if you don't say, hey, the other day when you did that thing, why did you do that? What? I mean, how many times do you get a response like that? I didn't even know I did that. It's because they were preoccupied with something else. So we have to be careful of that. And again, the idea of bitterness can just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. No grudges is another part of bitterness, too. It's something that got into us, and then it won't let it go of us. And it can affect our health. Some of the things that are mentioned as potential causes of holding grudges and bitterness, that adrenaline or hormones can even raise up to your blood pressure. They can increase your heart rate. On the worst side of that, it can lead to depression. I don't think a lot of us typically have ulcers, heart attacks, and strokes because of texting or social media, but we do live in an age where sometimes that does cause a lot of pressure. Sometimes our lives are very, very sensitive, and I think these days, compared to when some of us were younger, things are very, very sensitive because we expect such fast responses from people. So it's the idea of holding grudges and things. Saying things and doing things to the person that you'd never otherwise do. Maybe you got a best friend. I've had a lot of people that I've been very close to. I keep thinking about this one guy that I went to college with. He and I, man, we were just best buds. I had a 79 Malibu that I'd fixed up, got it all painted up, and he had some. For those that don't understand cars or don't know cars back then, you'll just have to tune out for a second. But had some Kreger SST chrome rims on there. I was like, oh man, I'd love to get them. He had wrecked his Pontiac, and I bought them off of him for almost nothing. And I've got a picture of that car. Still, even today, I was like, man, that looked good back then. Well, he and I were such close friends, I didn't think anything would ever happen to us. But he became one of the people that was just like this all the time, everywhere I went. Hey, Roger, 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 Roger. Like, I loved him. He was my friend, but he would not give me any space like that. And over time, it kind of separated us. Now, I was thinking about exactly what I'm talking about today. If I said, hey, Ryan, boy, you're wearing me out. You're hanging over me all the time. I just need a little space. We may have never had that space become so distant from us now. I haven't talked to him in many years, but that's on me. That's on me. He was just saying, I like you. You're a good friend of mine. I want to hang around you, but not to me. That it was too much. And don't we feel that way sometimes? Maybe sometimes we're guilty of that. I've got people that I really like to hang around, and sometimes I can tell when I get around them too much, and they're like, okay, I need to do this. Or you go to somebody's house too often, or you see a friend too often. It's like, Well, I got to mow the grass. I was like, you do? It's raining out. I was like, okay, I understand what you're saying. You just got to give him some space sometimes. Yeah. So one of the things that this can do, this idea of grudges and bitterness can bind us down. I was going to do a graphic. My career has been spent for about 20 years now in graphic design, so I tried to bring some of those things up. But this idea of grudges and bitterness are just like weights. We got our hand out. We've been moving some stuff around our house. Have you ever had somebody that's like, hey, I can help you? And they're like, okay, what do you want me to carry? Well, here. And they put one thing on there, like, I think I can hold a little more, and they put something else. Then they realize you're really convenient, so they're just going to keep stacking things on there, and you're like, ugh, and you're trying to move around like that. The more weight that you're carrying around on you, the harder it is for you to navigate. A perfect example, I've got a lot of people that I know that have a house with stairs, and we've got one at work, too. You know what it's like to have three or four boxes in your hand and go downstairs? Isn't it kind of a guessing game? You're like, okay, one, two, and you just keep stepping like that. You're not sure where you're going. That's really how these kind of things affect our lives. They start weighing down on us, and we start losing our ability to figure out where we stand. We can't be careful. We can't be agile. So those things are important to think about. One of the things that bitterness leads to is these ideas of wrongs. For one thing, we all suffer wrongs. I don't care who you are, good person, bad person, a person that's bad that's trying to be good, whoever you may be, we all suffer wrongs. It's just the way the society is. As I pointed out, sometimes it's because people just don't think about what they're doing. Other times, they just don't want you around, like I was talking about. Sometimes it's not just being a little bit too much in your life. It's just people that you don't really care to be around at all. And so we sometimes suffer that. So we can do a couple things. I tried to find a good picture of this idea of rolling off your back. Or they talk about the water rolls off of a duck's back. I thought this was a pretty cool picture because you can see the air just doing that. It's amazing. If you've ever watched, if you've gone someplace, maybe you've been in a little boat or a canoe, or you've gone to the park, and you see these ducks go down in the water, and they pop out, and the water just flies off of them. Now, they'll still spend an hour going like this and chomping at the back of their feathers, just trying to make sure that they're all groomed properly, but that water will not stay on there. And that's really what we're trying to all accomplish as Christians. Just let it roll off your back. Some people are amazing at that. They're almost unflappable. You could do anything to them, and they're like, yeah, no problem. I'll get back to you on that. But it's not that way for everybody. Other people stew on things, and they won't let them go. And this idea of stewing on things, I think if I can put a picture in your mind without drawing it up here, have you ever had a stew maybe your mom made or your grandma made or maybe your dad? It's not too many of us guys that are good cooks, but there's a few of us out there. And you cook something. Isn't it weird when you take a stew? I mean, my quality stew usually comes from a can, so it could be Dinty Moore or something like that. I could take a carrot and try it, and it says, okay, that tastes like stew. I could take a potato, still tastes like stew. Now, the meat typically tastes like meat. It's kind of chewy, but everything else, doesn't it kind of taste the same? Think about that. When we stew on things, everything kind of ends up in the same texture. Everything kind of has the same flavor there. So if we're carrying bitterness, we're carrying a grudge with somebody, no matter what happens to us, good or bad, there's a level of that flavor, if you will, of things that have been impacting us that can cause us some grief and cause other people grief too. So what does the Bible say about bitterness and forgiveness? For one thing, it says not to be bitter and not to hold grudges. And you might put this in quotes, it's not that easy to be forgiving. Well, how many of us can raise our hand and say that? Yeah, I mean, somebody does something mean to you, you're like, God wants me to forgive you, but I'm going to take my time. I'll get to it tomorrow. It's hard. Well, let's look at some things that we're going to think about, and we're going to talk about sin being easy to permit. As I've got written up here, in order to have a healthy life and a good relationship with God, bitterness has to be halted. Remember going back to that tea man at the very beginning there. If I keep giving that guy bitter tea that he doesn't like, it's not going to do him any good. If I keep drinking bitter tea, I'm just going to be like, what am I doing? I've been in places sometimes. I've gone out and worked out by myself into a field or something like that. It's too far to get to water, and I've taken the wrong drink out there or made some tea or lemonade that didn't have enough sugar in it, and I'm like, this is so bad, but gulp, 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 and you just drink it anyway. Or you have a soda or something like that that's completely warm and it's not very enjoyable, but you still try to deal with it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, the one thing about the Bible, these things are not suggestions. Paul's not saying, hey, I got a good idea, try this. It's a pretty good idea. It's not that way. God allowed Paul, through the Holy Spirit, to say, churches, people in churches, do these things because this is what will help you to become more like the children of God. I've talked about this before. We've got our Bibles. If I had a Bible and I was a good person, if I was a perfect person and God's Word only was telling me what I need to get to heaven, I would not have a big book like that. I'd have a flyer. Roger, good luck to get to heaven. It'll be easy. I was like, oh, great. We don't need all those Bible writers or anything. But instead, we've got 66 books of instructions on the problem of being human in a world trying to be a godly person. So always keep that in mind. When we see all that text, it's just saying nobody is able to do this very well. So it's going to take time. It's going to take work. Forgive those that wronged you. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So there's two parts to that. If somebody does something to us, maybe it's not just a sin, but maybe they've done something to us that's caused us to be bitter. We have got to go to them and say, hey, did you know what you just did? If it's a sin, certainly you want to say, hey, I saw you doing something that just didn't seem like it was very Christian. You need to work on those things. Can you work with me on that and try to work on things that way? I think this quote here is one that Gandhi or somebody had, but it certainly has Bible substance to it. It says, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong, and I do like that a lot. All of us that struggle with things, it takes a big person to confront those things, and that's pretty much the truth throughout the text of the Bible. Other texts I've got behind me now. Christ knows all that you did, yet he is still forgiven all you have done if you are saved. Think about that. So when we ever have somebody that has rubbed us the wrong way or we've been wronged by somebody, we have got to turn around and say, hey, Roger, what have you done? How high is your level of perfection this week? Well, if it's up to here, I'm pretty low down here. I've not been as good as nearly anything what Christ was. John 3:16, verse we should be able to quote from our memories. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How does that apply to the bitterness? Why did Christ have to come here? There was something that we couldn't do on our own, and he was not bitter. He knew that we are sinners. He knew that we fell from grace, but he came here for us. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The word I got up there is underlined tenderhearted. What's the opposite of tenderhearted? Well, that would be hard-hearted, and that's what we see in other places of the text. What's that? It's like a callous person, somebody that's gone through bitterness, that's gone through grudges, that they don't feel the tenderness between relationships, and that's what we're supposed to do here. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Again, try not to tune me out here if you don't know a whole lot about mechanics. But how many people know what a bearing is when you're talking about mechanics? Okay, so everybody here, there's about five of us that understand that, right? Or some that are just kind of being quiet about it. A bearing, especially in the old days, there's a couple of different ones. Most of us think of a ball bearing. It's a steel ball. And what it used to be, you'd have a hub on the inside and a hub on the outside. And in between there was a bunch of steel balls that were filled with grease. And so the inside hub would spin easily because the outside hub was holding all that place together. And there's also other bearings that are long and they're cylindrical, but they do the same purpose. I was thinking about that on this verse here, bearing with one another. You've got God, you've got people in our lives, and you've got me in the middle. How am I making that work? A bearing fails when it doesn't have the grease or it doesn't have the roundness that it should. It needs to be in the proper shape. Otherwise, friction builds up, and we've had it happen to one of our campers. I think Katie and my son and wife were all going out of town one time, and they started driving down the road, and the tire was just like, arr! It's like, what happened? Well, those bearings ran out of lubricant, and that tire could not move anymore, and it basically became a solid piece of metal again. We need to think about things like that when it comes to how we involve ourselves with other people's lives. So easy to say, do not worry and occupy your thoughts on what another has done to you. Like I said, very easy to say, right? Is it so easy to do? It's not. The gateway to bitterness is the thought gate. So a lot of times bitterness comes by what we think somebody says, what somebody is doing to us, and not what we know. We've got to find that out. As I've also got written up there, once a thought gets in and is contemplated on, it does more damage than it is entertained in one's thought life. Do not let ourselves dwell on it. So if somebody's causing us difficulty, if somebody's causing us things that we're like, I'm not sure what they're thinking, but I'm thinking the bad thing, don't keep stewing on that. Again, think about that idea of stew and how it all kind of permeates everything. So stop thinking about it before it gets out of hand. Proverbs 24:19, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. We don't want to have a desire to be able to have the things the wicked get. People around us that don't believe in God are going to get a lot of things. They're going to be able to sleep in when we're probably at church. They're going to be able to have a lot of what they call fun without doing the things that God's asked them to do. We can't be thinking about those things. So again, helping some of the kids out there, I thought another example of this, going back to the Cinderella story there, you probably know the story. The mean stepsisters did not like that this servant girl that they had adopted looked pretty, so they were going to do their best to make sure she didn't look as good as them, because they were going to go to the ball and they were going to get the prince's hand and so on. So what did they do? They tried to tear her down, right? That's a cartoon picture there, but really, don't we see a lot of that around us? Have we ever been the Cinderella there in that picture? Have we ever been the person that's trying hard, that we get dressed up to do something, or we fashion our minds and our hearts in such a way to do something, and somebody just tears us down? They don't want us to have anything and be able to pass that. It's a difficult thing. But again, just like the fairy tale story, whatever you want to call it, was the cartoon there, in the end, things worked out for her because she didn't stop. So, do not get even or even start entertaining the idea of getting even. Proverbs 24:29. Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to a man according to his work. I got some pictures down here. I don't know how many people, well, first of all, have ever even heard of Formula One, but Formula One is a race. It actually goes in places. It's not just like this. So it actually goes this way and that way and this way and that way. So it's a little bit more fun. It's mostly in Europe. It's very popular. It's very expensive, a ridiculously expensive race. I think 2 weeks ago I was watching this. Two of the drivers for Formula One is Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen. And these guys, you can see here, I was afraid that a video wouldn't work on here, so I just did some screen captures on here. They were pretty far in the lead of this race 2 weeks ago in Azerbaijan, was where the race was at. One of them, they were both pretty good drivers, but the driver in the front was not going quite as fast as the driver in the back. And even though these guys were teammates, and they were funded by the same people, they were wearing the same clothes, everything, the guy behind was definitely the faster car, and he was trying to get around his friend in front of him. And what happened, and it's hard to show in these pictures, so the guy behind, he cuts left, he tries to go around him. I really want to show the video because it makes more sense, but he tried to go around his friend, and then his friend shifted over. And so he went over further, and his friend shifted over again. I say friend, but it's actually a teammate, so who knows whether they're friends or not. So they kept doing this, they mixed it up, and then they finally, he just keeps cutting in front of the guy behind him to the point where he wrecks into him. And so what happens, both cars are damaged, both cars spin out, and they're both out of the race. So two very good drivers, both very talented, well-sponsored. Red Bull, as you know, is a pretty popular drink. They sponsor cars and trucks and everything that races because they expect them to win. Neither of these guys won this race because of what we're talking about today. Now, bitterness can happen in two things. Most of the time, bitterness happens when somebody does something to us and we react. But other times, what we don't think about, bitterness is trying to avoid people behind us getting something that they deserve. We don't want them to infiltrate where our space is, just like these racers here. The guy in front did not want to get passed by his teammate because that would make him look like the slower driver. So he just kept blocking him. That's something too many people do, but it's not right. Peter 3:8 says, I don't know which one of the books I took that from, sorry. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, especially the courteous part there. You think when they got back to the paddocks that both of those team owners said, guys, I know you're best buddies, but this really hurts us. You think they're like that? If you've ever watched a race, and they mostly have to block out people's mouths because you can almost see what they're saying. There's usually significant throwing, braking, pushing, shoving. There's a lot of money at stake here. And that's just for a race there, too. But think about our lives. Our lives are affected by these kind of things. So as I have up there, if you think what the other person has done to you is wrong, how is it any better if you do the same thing or similar hurtful things to them? I have some other texts on here, and then we've got some passages. You certainly have wronged others. I have. You probably have too, even unintentionally. A lot of times we've done that. I think I can say that when I'm a driver, I unintentionally cause people grief when I'm driving, and I look forward, I look out this way, and I go to the right. But I don't look to the right, and I'm like, and you hear beep, and you're like, oh, sorry. And they're usually not being very friendly with some of their emotions and things like that, but you didn't mean it. I wasn't trying to run over them, but I did a pretty good job sometimes. You've seen people even do the worst. I've seen people be in the fast lane on a 3-lane road and forget that their exit was only this close, and they go, whoop. They about knock everybody out of there. Maybe they don't hit anybody, but people are swerving and moving all over the place. So that can happen in life too. As I've got up there, you certainly have wronged others, even unintentionally. You certainly want to be forgiven by others and the Lord. So forgive those who have wronged you. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We don't think about that too often, but the things that we do, the things that we've earned in life, and the things others have earned in life, forgive them for the things they've done. Mark 11:25, starting, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Huge verse, because we come to church and we expect God to be happy with us, but maybe we've got in the back of our mind these big ropes that hang out from behind us, and there's all these people that we have grudges, and they're just kind of dragging along. God's saying, no way, I am not going to give my grace to you until you cut that out and fix those relationships first. Forgive them, even if they do the offense more than once. Matthew 18:21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And we also know the verses that say, even if it's 70 times 7, just keep doing it. That seems illogical to us. We figure if we have to forgive somebody something they've done to us once, twice, that's it, no more. That's how humans are, but that's not what God wants. The only getting even that God allows is to be nice to the offender. Proverbs 25, starting with verse 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, some of us, with that bitterness in mind, that's what we want to do. Man, I am going to do so many nice things to that person, their head is going to be burning on fire. Well, that's bitterness by itself. You don't want to do that. Look at them, they're on fire. I was so nice to them yesterday. No, that's not your goal there. Your goal is to just do the nice things. And they're like, I don't understand this. How many times have you seen people do that? I did something mean to you. You're being nice to me. This does not make sense. It's almost like a robot. It's like, can't compute, and it just blows up. But sometimes you have the best friends come from those situations, don't you? Especially as adults. Haven't you had people in your lives that you just never got along with? And your persistence about being nice to them finally said, man, you're one of the best people, the most trusted people I have in my life. That is huge, and that's exactly what God wants from us. Return unkindness with kindness. This is certainly not what the world gives us as a solution. Vengeance is never takes away the hurt feelings, ever. It just builds and builds and builds. Matthew 5, starting with verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the just and unjust. You know, there's some people, we're talking about people driving, if they start yelling profanities at you or flipping you off or making all these motions that are derogatory, and all you do is say, sorry, what can they do? I've done that. And it's almost embarrassment that you typically get the response you get from people. They're like, oh, I can't believe you did that. And they're doing all these mean things to you and trying to get everybody's attention. Like, sorry, I'm totally sorry. And they're like, it's that breakdown again. It's that robot. I don't know what to do. This person didn't react like I wanted him to. I wanted him to throw stuff back at me so I could throw more at them. We just got to be able to extinguish those things. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you and bless and not curse. 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If there's any getting even to be done, God will do it, and it will not be us that is responsible for that, ever. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. What's avenging? It's not a TV show of Marvel characters. An avenging person or an avenger is somebody that tries to take things back out that were wrong to them. That's not up to us. It's rather give peace or give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So what about being happy when bad things happen to people? Well, it's not something that we should do. We shouldn't gloat either. They are getting theirs. That's another problem that we have. We finally get somebody to react. We see something bad happen to them after they were mean to us, and we're like, yeah, you got yours. I know what you're talking about. I asked for that to happen. I was waiting for those coals to burn your head down. It's like, no. Feel for them. Again, it's a hard thing to be human and be godly. It's a difficult thing for all of us. Proverbs 24:17 starting says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Okay, well, it just said, give God, let him have the vengeance, and he'll reap coals of fire on their head. Why can't I do both of these? Like, that's not what it's about. This is just explaining as one direction we need to be heading. A lack of forgiveness and bitterness helps no one. These points that I've got on here are pretty straightforward. The only change is for the worse. The only peace that comes through forgiveness, if we want to have that. So we have to let it go. I already had one cartoon on there. I wasn't going to put the other cartoon in there. Everybody would be singing, let it go, let it go. But that idea is still relevant for us as Christians, especially when we're talking about bitterness and wrath. We just need to put it out of our minds, let it get out of there. So do not be happy when bad things happen. This keep on popping up here. So we don't know what they did to me, so we need to be very careful what they did. Or maybe somebody's saying to us, we're dealing with a friend, and they say, well, this person is a bad person. It's like, why are they a bad person? You don't know what they did to me. It's like, well, that's true, but you can still fix it. You can still get past that. Harboring feelings hurts and spreads. It's just like cancer. There's probably other things that we could use there, but it just kind of wraps around everything in our lives. So what are the two choices that we have when we're dealing with these kind of situations? Fester or get rid of it. Now, I think I've got a graphic on here if it comes up here. Yeah, maybe not. It's on this one. So we're talking about the different things here. There's what I was looking for. So one of the things that we can do, we can forgive and forget. Is it possible to forgive and forget? And who's going to do that? The thing here that I was trying to show in this graphic is very, very simplistic there, but this idea of dismissing bitterness, dismissing wrath, or dismissing the grudges that we have and filling in the voids. There's multiple places in the Bible, especially the New Testament, that says, okay, it's good if you're going to dig something out of your life that's bad, but make sure you fill it with good things. Otherwise, other stuff's going to rush in there. You could dig a hole in your backyard, and if you live in a place that has a lot of moisture, it may fill up with water. Probably a good example with me and my kids is the times that we go to the beaches, we used to dig holes out there and stand in these holes out there and just kind of stomp in the sand, and the waves would always fill them up, and we had fun with that. But in our lives, if we've got difficult things in our lives and they're all around us, the humanity that's around us, and we dig out these parts that are causing us problems, and we just leave that cavern there, it's just not going to fill up with good things unless we put them there. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? Scripture obviously says that he took care of filling in for the world. We need to make sure that we're filling our minds with good things, and we need to pray on the difficult things. And the truth is that we all battle hurt feelings, every one of us, doesn't matter who we are. It's our choice on how we handle them. God is clear that we should not let those temptations rule and destroy our lives, because they will destroy our lives. Keep thinking about that, what I was talking about, the stew. It just won't get out of there. So as I've got up on the board, the point there, instead of getting bitter and even blaming God about a matter, it's the time that we get close to Him, and the Him could be both God and the person that's causing us difficulties. It is during these hard times that we learn of His mercy and His grace, talking about Christ and God. And as we close off there, a quote here I thought was pretty applicable. People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. And isn't that true there? If we fly off into a bad situation or we just get too frustrated, that landing's not going to be so good. So we started off with this passage in Exodus chapter 15, talking about Moses and the children of Israel and how the waters were bitter. The people couldn't drink the water. Moses cried to God. God said, take this tree and throw it in here. Now, this is probably not the tree. It probably was not an olive tree that Moses threw in there, but it could have been. But the point is there, it's only when God is in our lives and we reach out to Him that things can improve. And so if we have bitterness and difficult people in our lives that we just can't seem to work things out with, we need to go to God just like Moses did, and we get back from God this grace from Him, these instructions, this idea of just letting things roll off of us, and the good things will come from that. And so that's the sweetness that we're talking about here. Most of you are going to be gone, heading to camp after our first lesson, so I appreciate your time with us today. But the next lesson is going to talk about sweetness. And the sweetness, we're going to talk about what you can do to have these kind of things in your life. So that is all I've got for you today. Appreciate your attention. We're going to open our songbooks up, song that's been selected for our invitation song. Maybe you've got bitterness in your life. Maybe you've got a grudge in your life. And maybe it's not just your family or friends or somebody that's close to you. Maybe you have a grudge or bitterness against God. Maybe God, you feel like something's happened in your life that God should have made better. Maybe there's a separation in your family. Maybe somebody that was close to you has died. Or maybe somebody is suffering with cancer, or maybe a grandfather, grandmother, and you're like, God, this is not fair. And it hurts you. We can have bitterness towards God, and it can also cause us the same problems that having bitterness against a friend or a colleague or a family member. So if you have any of those feelings, and we can pray for you, please let those things be known. If you're not a Christian, now is a great time to be one and get started on this path of righteousness. Please stand as we sing the song that's been selected.